Would you turn to Psalm 119? Verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. A wineskin over a hearth, covered with soot and dried up. That's the imagery. That's how I feel about myself. Dried up, covered with soot. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that we can come into your presence and actually have your ear and be heard because of thy Son. Now, Lord, we pray in his name that you would meet with us, that you would speak in power from your word to our heart, that you would reveal your gospel to each person here according to your will. We pray that we might have the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. We pray for your Spirit. We pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to your word. Enable us to worship thy dear Son and teach us what it means to rest in him. Accept our thanksgiving for who you are and for the revelation of your gospel. We pray for your presence with your people wherever they meet together. And Lord, we pray for our friends that are going through trials, physical health, emotional health, problems in their families. Lord, we pray for your blessing and your will to be done in all things. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now notice the language of this psalm. Faint means I've come to an end. I'm unable to stand. My soul faints for thy salvation. In verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. I can't see. That's how I feel. I can't see. I know it's your word. I don't see the glory in it. I don't see the beauty in it. My eyes fail. When wilt thou comfort me? I don't have any comfort. I feel alone. I feel isolated. When will you come and comfort me? And then I think the imagery in verse 83 is quite remarkable. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I'm a dried up wineskin over a hearth with all the smoke coming up, covered with black soot. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. Now this imagery is inspired by God the Holy Spirit when the writer to the psalm is writing. And look at the way he expresses himself. I'm like a bottle in the smoke, covered in my feelings and my thoughts with the soot of sin. Verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? You're not doing anything for me. The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. I feel like I'm alone. I feel like you're not helping me. I feel like I've been cut off and I'm all by myself. They had almost consumed me upon earth. That's how close I am. But I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me. Give me life. I feel dead. I feel hard-hearted. I feel lifeless. Quicken me. Give me life. After thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now there is such a thing as the joy and the peace of believing. And I don't mean barely. I mean the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my righteousness, my all in all. I love the scripture. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, the peace that comes from having him as your righteousness, and the joy that arises from that. It's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, that being said, it's equally true that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, dirt. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, is the psalmist wallowing in the mire, wallowing in self-pity, just feeling sorry for himself? No, this is language inspired by God the Holy Spirit. I want you to think of the Beatitudes. Blessed are what? What's the first Beatitude? The poor. Those who, because of their sin, feel like, no, they have no personal righteousness. No merit. Now, this is the person God has saved. He's poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. And the word is used with regard to mourning over the death of a loved one. You know, when you mourn over the death of the loved one, you know you can't bring them back. And how you mourn. These are people who mourn over their sin. The same word. They mourn all the time. This is a continual state of being poor, mourning over your sin. Blessed are the meek before God. They're meek before God because they know who they are. They hunger and thirst after righteousness because they know they have none of their own. But oh, how they hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, this is the description that God gives of the believer. So when the psalmist is speaking like this, he's not wallowing in self-pity. The Lord himself is described as a man of sorrows, acquainted, deeply acquainted with grief. And that is as the sin bearer. Do you think anything bothered him naturally? Of course not. He's the Son of God. But sin, knowing he would be separated from his Father because of sin. No wonder he's called a man of sorrows and deeply acquainted with grief. Paul said in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. And once again, he's not wallowing in self-pity. He's talking about the experience of being what he called himself, the chief of sinners. And this is where the psalmist is coming from at this time when he says, my soul faints for thy salvation. My soul is weak, unable to stand. Let me give you another few translations of verse 81 that some, I am worn out waiting for thy rescue. I desperately long for your deliverance. My soul languishes for thy salvation. What a blessing it is to have a soul that languishes for his salvation. I mean, his salvation, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My soul longs to enter in to the fullness of that, to be saved from my sins. And what the psalmist is saying is, I'm not feeling it. Now, feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. We know that. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. But we have feelings, don't we? And what the psalmist is saying is, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I feel isolated and alone. Verse 82, mine eyes fail for thy word. And that word fail is the same word translated fainting in verse 81. I can't see. I know it's your word, but I can't see it. I feel blind to the glories of thy word. And you know what that is. You know what it is to read the Bible and it's not speaking. You don't hear. You know it's God's word, but your eyes are failing. You can't see the glory of the word of God. And that's what he's speaking of. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I have no comfort. Now, I was reading a commentary on this, and the one writing the comfort said, you will have no comfort until we put away unbelief, stop complaining, stop tolerating sin, and stop neglecting duties. When you do that, you'll have comfort. Oh, well, we ought not have unbelief. Don't misunderstand me. We ought not ever tolerate any sin. We ought not murmur for anything. But do you receive comfort by how well you're doing? You've missed the gospel then. Comfort comes from this. It is finished. That's where comfort comes from. Comfort comes from this. Everything God requires of me, he looks to his son Jesus Christ for. Here's comfort. My righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, I don't want to complain. I don't want to be unbelieving. I don't want to tolerate any sin. I don't want to neglect duties. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. But comfort doesn't come from my conduct, my actions. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, when wilt thou come and comfort me? Now, be comforted. It doesn't do you any good for me to say that. You need to be comforted. Oh, okay. You know, only when he comes and comforts me by his Spirit with his gospel. He says in verse 83, and I think the imagery here is so powerful, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, they didn't have glass bottles back then. Talk about a wineskin. And a wineskin over a hearth with the smoke coming up on it, it becomes covered with soot. The carbon or whatever it is that comes off a fire and just becomes blackened by the soot. And it's dried up. And the psalmist says, that's how I feel. And what a description of a believer at this time. Dried up. You ever felt dried up? Besmeared, befouled by sin. And that is how the psalmist feels. But look what he says at the second statement, yet do I not forget thy statutes. I don't forget your word, even in this state. You know, it almost seems like this is the old man and the new man speaking at the same time. Well, if it seems that way, it's because it is. I don't forget thy statutes. I don't forget that your word is the gospel, my only hope. I don't forget your decrees. Salvation is according to your decree. I don't forget your word. Verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? Now, remember, this life is measured in days. Days. Had the opportunity to visit. We went to a birthday party in Ashland for Tara Kennel, and we got to visit Doris Mahan yesterday. She'll be 100 on her next birthday. 100. And the 100 years have taken their toll on her. She would forget things, and she asks us the same question 7 or 8 times. It's a joy to see her. But still, to think of what those days, what they do, and our life is measured in days. Turn with me to Psalm 39 for a moment. Verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. The space between your hand. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. And that's why he says in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I might know how frail I am. Psalm 90. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May the Lord enable us to realize that this world is not our home. We're passing through, and we don't have much longer. And the one thing needful is to be found in Christ. That's the one thing needful. The one thing needful is to sit at his feet and hear his word, like Mary. Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. And I'm sure that can be said to every one of us. Careful, anxious, troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Now, in this thing of numbering your days, I think there are several things that the psalmist is thinking of. Number one is, when will this trial be over? Now, man that's born of woman is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward, Job said. And there's heartaches, there's trials, there's disappointments, there's discouragements. Oh, how discouraged we can become. And he's saying, when is this trial going to be over? It's also a reminder of the brevity and fragile nature of life. And there's also involved in this looking forward to death. I look forward to seeing Christ's face and not having unbelief clouding my view, seeing the beauty of his face, no longer having a sinful nature to make my head go down. Verse 84, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? You know, he felt like he was being wrongly treated. Every one of us felt that way before. When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? You know, the Lord allows us to talk to him like this. You can talk to him like you can't talk to any other human being. But the Lord allows us to talk like this. Verse 85, the proud, the arrogant, the insolent. He speaks of the proud quite often in Psalm 119. And the proud are those who have this high opinion of themselves and their own righteousness. And what do? The proud have digged pits for me which are not after thy law. And in the law it's talked about you digging a pit. You make sure people are safe. Make sure an animal doesn't fall into it. You'll be responsible if it does. Don't. When you dig a pit, make sure there's a covering for people's safety. The law actually says this. And he says, they dig pits for me wanting me to fall. Wanting me to fall into that pit. Wanting me to go into this place of landmines and danger. They want to see me fall so they can feel better about themselves. And you, any time you desire or I desire or feel some kind of secret satisfaction in seeing the fall of somebody else, that's evil. That's all it can be called is evil. I'm wanting them to look a little darker so I'll look a little brighter. But this is the way this psalmist felt at this time. They dig pits for me, not after thy law, and I'm getting ready to fall into these landmines and these pits. Verse 86, even in all of his darkness, he could say, all thy commandments are faithful. If you're a believer and you're like the psalmist here, you still believe this, all thy commandments are faithful. I couldn't help but think of Peter. You remember when he said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I've been raised from the dead? I guarantee you Peter did not think he was a disciple after this fall. Now he was, but he didn't think he was. He thought he'd been cut off. And I understand him feeling that way. But the Lord prayed for him that his faith fail not. He failed. He failed. But he never quit believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Even though he thought he had been cut off, he never quit believing the gospel. And that's the case here. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Now that could be the prayer of the Lord to his Father. I realize that's probably, it is. I don't think it could be, it is. But it's also the prayer of the believer. And we're asking the Lord for help. Now, don't you love when the Lord says to the Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what he's saying to her? I've only come for the elect. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did she turn on her heels and say, well, what's the point? No, the scripture says, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, I won't be helped. I've got no other place to turn. Lord, help me. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying. And you know, when the Lord was on the cross, he said, why art thou so far from helping me? And the words of my roaring. I mean, the Lord, when he was forsaken by his Father on the cross, cried out for the Lord's help, needing help, feeling his need of help. Don't you know the Lord needs to help you? If he doesn't help you, if he doesn't help me, we're beyond help. I need his help. Lord, help me. Oh, I love the way the Psalms are written and the Lord gives us this encouragement for us to pray. Lord, help me. Verse 87. They had almost consume me upon the earth. But I forsook not thy precepts. Now, this can certainly be the prayer of the Lord, where they had almost, and they ended up, you know, all the persecution and everything he experienced, but this is the psalmist speaking as well. He's saying, I was that far away from it being over, but I did not forsake thy precepts. I still look to Christ only. I still look to your word. Now, this verse 88, quicken me. That means give me life. I feel like I'm dead. And I won't live except you quicken me. And look at the argument he uses. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. Now, here's his reason to ask the Lord to quicken him. Do it according to thy loving kindness. Now, here's some light as to what that means. David said in Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Somebody once said that's the Old Testament word for grace. I believe that's a good description. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Not so shall I be able to give a good testimony. My testimony is this. You want to know my personal testimony? Christ is all I have. That's my testimony. I give testimony to that. I'll keep the testimony of thy mouth. Here's my personal testimony, the Word of God. What he says in his Word. I'm relying on what he says in his Word. Tell me about your life. Tell me about your testimony. I'm looking to what he says in his Word only. Don't you have anything better to say than that? Nope. Nope. And I'm happy to keep it there. My testimony is the testimony of his mouth. We're looking to what he says. Now, if you quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. I will believe the gospel. Well, we're halfway through Psalm 119. Another 11 to go, Lord willing.